hello, my hungry guys. My hungry dykes? I don't know. And maybe we shouldn't make inside jokes before everyone knows what we're talking about. Anyway, welcome to Sapphic Culture Club, where we explore lesbian themes in film, TV, books, music, and anywhere else sapphics roam. We are your hosts. I'm Laurel Hachinova.
And I'm Audrey Nee. Today, we are going to be discussing a small but important entry in modern sapphic cinema, the Saturday Night Live Totino's Pizza Roll Trilogy. Please don't leave. Which I think is arguably the gayest SNL skit? Storyline?
Skits?
Commercial, yeah. At least,
yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so before we get too deep into this episode that's totally dedicated to Totino's and SNL, for those listening who may not know what Totino's are, do you want to explain that to our listeners?
So Totino's are a very processed, frozen, pizza-inspired snack. What's technically a pizza?
What's technically a pizza? I think it has to be like bread and like sauce and cheese.
Cheese
usually.
And yeah. Sauce. And that's it. And that makes it a pizza. I feel like people would have issue with that. But they're little sort of pillow, like 1 inch by 2 inch. I don't know how many centimeters that is. Pillow shaped, completely enclosed pizza.
Pockets?
Pizza inspired frozen pockets. Yeah.
Pizza inspired frozen pockets. So
it's if you imagine just like the crust on the outside and then the cheese and sauce on the inside and then probably a variety of meat or topping, quote unquote. Is it a topping if it's on the inside? Options. Everything is on the inside. Oh, I wonder if that's a metaphor.
Oh.
Like for why. Why it's a Totino.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But it's a very, very American thing. I mean, I guess we could say North American, but I think the United States has to take the blame for this existing.
Yeah. I don't know if people in Canada are listening and want to like fill us in on if Totino's or Totino's equivalent, something pizza-inspired, snack-sized food exists out there? I'm sure it does, but like, what is the Canadian version?
Yeah. Did you grow up eating these?
I didn't grow up eating them, but I think like they may have, you know, passed by my household once. Before this commercial, or fake commercial SNL, before I saw these, like the way that I imagined them kind of existing were very much like after-school snack type thing for like sort of middle class America, like, oh, I don't have time to like make a snack for my kid, understandably. I'm gonna just pop these like frozen pizza inspired pockets in the microwave and I have a tray of snacks for my kids. I mean, that was probably most of the commercials but Super Bowl makes sense too. So really quick, this is so stupid. A brief history of Totino's before we move forward, and this is probably more than you ever wanted to know. So Rose Totino and her husband founded a takeout pizzeria in Minneapolis, Minnesota in 1951.
It's really their name.
I know. Aww. And then they also founded a frozen pizza manufacturing company, which they eventually sold to Pillsbury. Pillsbury was like acquired by General Mills at one point, right? Okay, so that's one story. This is like a magical merging of pizza magic. Separately, Gino Pellucci developed a series of food businesses in the 1940s, including, okay, get this, Chung King line of Chinese food. And included in that line, this is nuts, were these mini, I'm going to call them egg rolls? I mean, he called them egg rolls, which look shockingly similar to the pizza rolls that we are familiar with today, with the Totino's, okay? So imagine these, like, quote-unquote egg rolls. And then Gino's developed pizza rolls in the late 60s, which were described as a type of egg roll filled with pizza ingredients, okay? And then in 1985, Gino sold his pizza rolls brand to Pillsbury. So this is where everything converges. And then 1993, Gino's pizza rolls were rebranded as Totino's.
Interesting.
So there's like a weird, I don't know what to call it, like appropriative past of Totino's.
Yeah.
Like they are Americanized egg rolls, I guess.
And then also like not very
pizza.
Pizza, like Italian either. Like,
they're neither egg roll nor Italian. They are like future food.
Uniquely American.
Uniquely. Yeah, exactly.
Actual foods. Yeah.
Yep. That was our The More You Know moment.
Please don't leave.
Again, please do not leave. Should we just keep saying that throughout?
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on. For those keeping track, the first Totino's commercial debuted on SNL for the 2015 Super Bowl, and they repeated it for two more years, making the trilogy. The one that I think is probably most relevant to our show is the third in the trilogy, which came out in 2017, season 42 of SNL.
So if you haven't seen any of these, or if you haven't seen all three, we've added two viewing options in the show description, which you can find if you're listening to the podcast, just peek down below the player, usually under the podcast title somewhere.
Whoa, whoa. Get consent before you peek down there.
It's fine. So you can either watch all three skits, which will take you about 7 minutes and 46 seconds. So pretty lightweight viewing. Or you can just watch the third one, which is 3 minutes and 24 seconds and is the most relevant to what we're talking about today.
We're going to be playing the audio of those skits for you, which work pretty well in that format, but definitely recommend watching the videos, the actual skits themselves, because there's a lot of nuance that you miss with just the sound.
I want to insist that you at least watch the third one.
Do not move forward until you watch that. We are gating you.
Yeah. Even if you've watched it, if you've seen this in the past, I recommend a refresher because time I watch it, it still hits me. It's
actually really amazing. Emotional.
Yeah.
For me when I watch it. Like the delight and joy I feel and like something else. What is it? It's almost heartbreak. I don't know. It's heart-wrenching. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
So
I shriek like
for sure
at several points. So please do that.
Should we make this a watch along? So
we should. Except I'll be quiet or just making noises the whole time.
That's the whole point of a watch along.
Also, if you're on the fence about watching all three, maybe this quote from a Vulture article, which we will also link to, will change your mind. So over the course of 3 years, co-head writers Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider's quiet takeover of SNL can be seen in the subsequent beats of this parody, from lampooning a man-centric Super Bowl ad and providing a bleak look at the patriarchy to playing on indie film cliches and inviting an ecstatic sexual liberation. So,
If that doesn't make you want to watch all three, I don't know what will. Have we mentioned who's in it, the third one? I mean, for anyone who hasn't seen it, have we ever
haven't yet.
Are we trying to bury the lead?
It's got Kristen Stewart in it. You should see it. It's Kristen Stewart and Vanessa Bayer.
Yeah, she hosts that episode. It's actually, I think it's the first time she hosts SNL.
Yeah, I think so too.
One other note related to what you just talked about. So Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider, as you mentioned, were the co-head writers of SNL. But they left SNL to develop this, what I'm calling a highly underrated show, only because I haven't heard much about it. I've watched it, but like no one else I know has seen it. But it's called The Other Two, which now you can watch on HBO. It's super gay, not in the content necessarily. There is a gay character and there's like some gay storylines. But I feel like it's like very gay lensed. The way that it looks at heterosexual culture and like the mainstream culture is very much through a gay lens. And it's subtle and like hilarious.
Wait, by gay, do you mean gay or do you mean like generally queer? Like gay male?
I would say the lens is queer. Or... I would say the lens is pretty queer. And it stars the SNL alum Molly Shannon. It's kind of like a little bit like Schitt's Creek in that the first season is not the best, but it gets a lot better towards the end of it. And season two is really good.
Are there only two seasons?
So far there are, but I think it got picked up for season three.
Oh, great.
Yeah, okay. It's premiering this year.
Great.
So yay. Okay. Are you ready for this saga, Totino's saga?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with the clip for the first one. Act one, Egalité.
Go, 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 go!
Yes! Who's ready for some more Totino's pizza rolls?
Oh, I am.
Thanks, honey. You're the best.
Anything for my hungry guys.
Now get out of here, you. The game's on.
Okay, sweetheart. I'll be in the kitchen if you need me. When it comes to the big game, I love feeding my hungry guys. But now what? I normally just sit in the kitchen, waiting for them to ask for more delicious Totino's pizza rolls. But that can be so boring. Well, not anymore. Introducing Totino's new Super Bowl Activity Pack for women. It's full of fun little puzzles and games to keep my mind active and learning while I wait back here.
Touchdown!
My hungry guys aren't the only ones having fun today. With my Super Bowl Activity Pack for women, I can spin a little top. Connect the dots. Oh, look, it's a little bee. Do a word search. Hat. Found hat. Count my own money. And plenty of other activities I can drop at a moment's notice.
Honey, we're out of pizza rolls.
Coming right up.
Ooh, oh, yeah. My favorite.
Tortinos!
Look, honey, it's a little bee.
Yeah, we're also out of beers when you get a second.
Anything for my hungry guys.
Hey, does your wife want to watch the game with us?
No, she's good. She's got her little activity pack.
Plus, if I get hungry from all the puzzles and games, my activity pack comes with one little Totino just for me. Is the game almost over?
No, it's still the first quarter.
Well, I already did that whole activity pack you gave me.
We'll open another one then.
Okay. Anything for my hungry...
Go!
The Totino Super Bowl Activity Pack for grown women ages 5 and up.
So this one is the 2015 one. J.K. Simmons is the host. And I think it's interesting to note tonally that he has just come off of Whiplash was his most recent feature film. And you definitely get those vibes. I think the writers kind of had that in mind. Yeah, that sort of quick 180 that he does between being sort of a goofy, like, oh, she's fine. She's got her activity pack. And then just like, go, you know? Like,
snapping at her. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So one thing you don't get from the audio, and probably my favorite part of this first one, is there's the scene where you're watching the guys yell at the, you know, Super Bowl, whatever, TV. What is sports?
The Super Bowl TV.
I know sports. Balls. They're in the foreground. In the background, like, it's actually kind of blurry, but you can see her playing with her activity pack, but she pulls out one of those sticky hands that you get from vending machines, and she, like, throws it and hits it against the refrigerator. But, like, it's so good. It's, like,
it's so
subtle.
It's so sad, too.
It's so sad. But it's a blink and you miss it kind of moment that's so fucking clever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the main thing to mention here is Vanessa Bayer's freaking face.
I was thinking about this, and there's just no one else who could pull off this woman, this character, the way that she does. She has such a sweet face, you know?
That is just heartbreaking.
So dear, you know, like the way that she smiles and just wants to feed her hungry guys is heartbreaking.
I think Chris Kelly described it as like the way that she can smile through pain is like very specific to her.
Yeah.
You see her and you hear her just say like, my hungry guys, and you know like everything about her as a person. And I think she actually came up with that, the original idea, right?
Like
she
was... Just that phrase was the impetus of this entire trilogy.
My hungry guys. So good.
That like northern Midwestern like eyes that she does is...
Yeah.
It's so perfect. It's a little ridiculous. And okay, so some of the things that we can say about this first act is this is very much a queer take on Super Bowl culture and Super Bowl ad culture specifically, because we're seeing, and I highly recommend listening to the podcast episode that interviews them, but they talk about how in these ads, there's always a sort of woman whose sole purpose in the commercial is to basically cater to the dudes who were watching the game. And then where does she go?
You know? That's like, the big question. It's like, what happens to her afterwards?
Yeah, she's just like standing there waiting for commands. And so
it's
nice that it takes us away from the Super Bowl stuff and follows her, you know? And it makes fun of how ridiculous the whole setup is.
Yeah. I was thinking like before when we were sort of prepping for this episode that, oh, we can say the only podcast dedicated, or the only episode dedicated to like the Totino's SNL skits. But then I found the Vulture episode of Good One, I think, which is like all dedicated to jokes.
Yeah.
And they actually brought on, I think they had Vanessa Bayer on a separate episode and then Chris Kelly and Sarah Snyder on the episode to just talk about these three episodes. So they beat us to the punch.
Yeah, yeah. I also found another one where two comedians discuss it without the writers or Vanessa.
Just like us.
Just comedians. Like us. So, yeah. Oh, I do also want to say wow to the prop people who made this activity pack because it's amazing.
It's really good. It really looks like something you get off the shelf at like Target.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then there's also the little like Totino's.
I know.
Just for her in the activity.
And if I get hungry, there's a Totino just for me.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So fucking brilliant.
So now we move to 2016 Super Bowl ad, which we are calling Fraternité. And we'll play the clip.
My husband and his friends love to watch the big game, but all their cheering and shouting can make them pretty hungry. That's why I love Totino's Pizza Rolls, the only game time snack that satisfies my hungry guys.
Go, 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 touchdown!
And Totino's Pizza Rolls aren't just delicious, they're also easy to make. Simply
put, go, 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 touchdown!
Wow, there really is a lot happening fast in this big game. So this Super Bowl,
fumble!
Why not treat your hungry guys
touchdown!
To the delicious taste of Totino?
Fumble!
If they're anything like my hungry guys,
touchdown!
They'll love these cheesy bites
fumble!
More than their favorite team.
Touchdown!
Guys, the Totinos are ready. Hope I'm not interrupting the big game. There's nothing on the TV. The screen is completely black.
Go, 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 go! Touchdown!
Steven, what's going on? What have you guys been shouting at this whole time?
No, 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 no! Ah, fumble!
Okay, haha. Very funny, Steven. Now cut it out.
Go, 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 go! Touchdown!
Why are you doing this? Brittany, get in the car!
No, 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 no. Oh, fumble!
What's happening to my hungry guys?
The X-Files. New episodes. Mondays at 8.
Okay, so
this one's so fucked up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It really takes
creepy.
A turn.
Yeah, yeah. Even just listening to it, it creeps me out. Still.
It's like a horror movie.
It is for sure. 100% a horror movie. So it's Larry David. I love that the husbands are interchangeable. They're just whoever the host is, but still it's like, all right. And I love that they've taken this sort of, because we didn't see a game in the first commercial, right? But you knew, quote unquote, that they were watching the Super Bowl because of the way that they were reacting to the screen. And so they took that, I don't know what you'd call it. It's like a tool or a mechanism where they're just like, go, 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 touchdown. Whoa, you know, oh my, you know, fumble, or whatever. They turned it around and they show us what's actually there, which is nothing. But it becomes very creepy because now that we've broken that wall, it's horror.
Yeah, by the end of this one, she's like grabbing scissors and she's calling her daughter or whatever to like get out, you know?
Yeah.
And then they cut to the X-Files, which is pretty funny and slightly, I guess it makes it a little bit more dated.
Right, yeah.
This gets even, to me, even more into the queer lens where it's like these guys who are just shouting at the screen, like they just become robotic. It's like this machine that's repeating the same thing over and over again. And then they end up becoming, you know, kind of this like monster, right?
Yeah, yeah. This weird robot mob.
There's like a deeper sort of cultural commentary about
the
monstrosity of heterosexuality. I don't know. I don't know if that's just me.
That's absolutely what they were going for. Yeah.
So act three, we're calling Liberté. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. To set this up, this is K-Stew her first time hosting SNL. I think she's hosted twice. I'm surprised they invited her back after her F-bombing the first one.
Her adorable bombing of the first one.
Her monologue was great. She came out and basically like...
Came out.
She came out and came out. I think she was already like sort of out, but she like came out.
Yeah.
To set it up, she called out Trump for having a crush on her boyfriend, at one point, her ex-boyfriend, Robert Patterson. Should we just play this clip so that...
Let's play the clip.
The president is not a huge fan of me. But that is so okay. And Donald, if you didn't like me then, you're really probably not going to like me now because I'm hosting SNL and I'm like so gay, dude. Okay, so we've got a great show and I totally care that I'm here because it's the coolest thing ever. Oh.
So that was very cute. And she said... I read an interview where she said that someone said, oh, did you get, you know, sort of distracted or something by all the, like, the coming out or anything? And she's like, no, I actually got really into it. And that's why I swore.
Yeah. It felt very natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she probably swears all the... I think she does.
She does. And they were really nervous that she was going to do it on air. And she was like, I'm not going to do it. What do you think I am? An amateur? And then she did it. Mm-hmm. It was so cute.
It took a while, though. Like, she... You know, it was towards the end of the monologue, so...
It took towards the end of the monologue. Like, the first thing she does.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah, okay. Some other additional background. This is... 2017 was Chris Kelly's... Sarah Schneider's and Vanessa Bayer's last season of SNL. And they hadn't really planned on doing a second Totino's Pizza Roll commercial parody, but when they realized that their last season was coming up, this one started percolating like months before. And they didn't know who was gonna be hosting, of course, because they don't find that out until later, but the cosmic/comic timing of Kristen Stewart hosting this episode was just too much.
Well, they had already come up with the lesbian storyline. So
right.
It was like,
yeah.
They found out later that K-Stew was hosting. It was like, oh my fucking God. Like, it was like meant to be, you know?
Can I point out that it's incredibly weird that Kate McKinnon is not in the most lesbian skit that SNL has ever aired? In that Vulture interview, Chris and Sarah also said that, like, for example, if a guy was hosting the show, they kind of had her on standby, or like she was going to be like the lesbian seductress backup kind of. So I think it's fascinating to have Kate McKinnon on like backup or standby for anything, but also for this specifically.
That's such a like any les will do, any les will do moment.
You, lesbian, come here.
Yeah. I think Kate McKinnon's great, and I love everything she does, but, like, I just can't, because it's the role of Sabine is so K-Stew. I can't imagine her. I think K-Stew lends, like, the somberness to the role that, like, I don't know if Kate McKinnon could have done. She's so, like, such a comedic actress, you know?
Right, yeah. The vibe that K-Stew has just generally, I think, kind of is what helps make this what it is.
Yeah.
She's a serious actor, you know,
right?
So the fact that you have her playing, she plays it serious, right? You know, like there's not really a point where she breaks or anything, or you could kind of see her emoting in this way in a regular film, you know? And so
absolutely.
I feel like this is part of what makes it hilarious is that she's acting the way that she would act in one of her normal films.
Yeah, I think that's really what makes this whole thing work. I don't know if like anyone on the SNL cast anyway could have pulled it off otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like, what's her name? Like Cicely Strong? I feel like I would have chosen her maybe over Kate McKinnon for that if I had to.
Oh, yeah. You know? I can see that too. Yeah, totally. But anyway, like, so it's interesting that this is how like the most lesbian person on the SNL cast did not end up in the most lesbian skit they have ever done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, like we said, it was faded.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of interchangeable people. So Beck Bennett is back in this and he is playing the role of the main dude, probably her husband. But yeah. And we will play that clip.
Yeah. Get ready for it. But please watch it first.
Yeah.
This is just to remind you of how great it is.
Is everyone enjoying the big game?
Oh, come on, babe. Don't act like you know sports.
My husband's right. When it comes to the big game, there's only one thing I know about. Feeding my hungry guys.
Come on, no! Oh, bum Jungle!
And this year's game is bigger than ever, which means I'll be feeding them more Totinos than ever.
Babe, we need more Totinos. Dave just got here.
Not a problem, because this year I've got the new Totinos Totino 2-Pack. It's twice the Totino for twice the hungry guy.
Enough yapping. We need the Totinos. Ted's here too, and he brought his sister.
Great. More hands to help me make delicious Totino's pizza rolls. Oh my. Hi. I'm Sabine. What's your name? I've never had one. It's a shame. I should bring these out. Oh, stay with me. What about my hungry guys? What are you hungry for?
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Do it! Yes! Touchdown! Hey, babe, we need those Totinos. What's going on back there?
Every big game before this one, I've been asleep. But Sabine, tu m'as réveillé. J'ai l'impression que nous sommes seulement les deux personnes sur terre. Nous sommes.
They're gonna punt.
They're gonna punt.
They have to.
Totinos, you girls making out back there?
You're crazy.
Totino, this spring, find your Totino.
I love that this starts out with him being, so Vanessa Bayer walks in and she's like, everyone enjoying the big game? And he's like, oh, come on, don't act like you know sports. It's like she didn't even say anything.
She said the word game.
And, like, enjoying. It's like,
yeah,
ha ha, stupid lady, like, assumes that people enjoy games. What a dum-dum.
Originally, so I think Chris had pitched that this would actually cut to a more typical indie lesbian film, you know, setting, where it wouldn't be in the kitchen anymore. It would be, like, somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But then they decided it would be, like, way funnier,
Sarah,
as a joke.
Sarah insisted that it stay in the kitchen.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, right, of course, that makes perfect sense. Because, like, at one point, they're literally, again, you can see them in the background,
so good.
You know, while the guys are, like, cheering, and they're, like, literally
they're not
the
even
counter.
Cheering. They're like, he's like, oh, he's going to punt. Yeah, they have to punt.
Yeah.
And it's so mundane, yeah.
It's so mundane. They're, like, rolling around on, like, the countertop, like, the island in the back right behind them.
Drenched, like, from, like, the kitchen sink water.
Literally drenched.
I also love that, like, right when Kristen Stewart appears on screen and does that, like, look,
oh,
there is clearly a sapphic in the audience who is like, ha-ha! You
know? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
They absolutely know what's coming up. So
yeah.
Good.
That was, yeah, I remember catching that the last time. I was like, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
There's so many amazing things about this skit. Like, I don't know. It's so perfect. It really is perfect, I think.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
But the part where she is like, when she asks, what's her name? What's your name? And she pauses and is like, I've never had one. And it's just like, oh.
Like, it's heartbreaking and so, so funny.
Yeah.
And it's so true. It's like she doesn't have a name, even though two dudes who just walked in the door have names. Like, they are named people in this. Like, I mean, the husband-ish person also doesn't have a name, but still, she's the star of the commercial. She should.
One thing we haven't talked about yet that we should probably bring up for our listeners is the parallels to Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
It's a little ridiculous how much they fit into, you know, this 3-minute segment.
This might be all of Portrait squished into.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth noting, I think we said when this came out, but as a reminder, it came out in 2017. So it came out 2 years before Portrait. Mm-hmm. But it also came out in February 2017, which is almost exactly 2 years before the US premiere of Portrait. Just saying, like, coincidence? I don't know. So let's talk about this.
So one of the first things that you'll hear is when Kristen Stewart walks in, the music, their music starts swelling, and it's this pseudo-classical piece with piano and strings. Sound like anything we know?
Can you imagine if it actually was Vivaldi? Oh, man. It's like immediately cuts to a tray of Totinos and like no name. Vanessa Bayer is like about to bring them out, but her hands kind of hover over them. And then Sabine, her hand enters and they just like touch over the Totinos, which is what you miss with the audio only. But it's really quite special and sensual.
They also do the, I don't know how else to describe this, but spooning standing up. So Kristen Stewart is the big spoon position. Vanessa Bayer is in front of her facing in the same direction. Similar to a scene that happens in Marianne's room.
Oh my God.
You might recall.
Oh my God. I'm looking at it right now. It's so ridiculous. And there's this like bokeh, like the lighting effects are like really soft focus. And then, okay, this is not Portrait specific, but like when she's like rubbing the Totinos on her lips. Like, have you ever thought of Totinos in that light before? I don't know.
Yeah.
If you can ever eat them again without like rubbing them all over your body.
Just like tracing your body with them.
When do they smoke?
Vanessa Bayer smokes during one of these montages.
Really?
She has a cigarette. Yeah. And she's just sort of like kind of
That's right.
Dancing.
It may as well be a pipe.
Yeah, it may as well be a pipe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then, I mean, I don't think we can ignore the the sketching.
The sketching. She's a great artist.
Classic sketching. Like, yeah. Yeah. It's very like Titanic-y, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's sketching in like pencil, a beautiful sketch of Sabine holding a Totino's up to her lips.
Nude, though.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. There aren't any visible cliffs or coastlines in this, but there is water. There is a water fight. They take the extendable hose from the kitchen sink and they spray each other with it. So I'm going to count that as a similarity.
Oh, yeah. I think we get that. Obviously, the French, which you heard. This makes me wonder if Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider, when they watch, I'm assuming they saw Portrait because everyone should see it. I wonder if they were like, hey, wait a second.
Wait a second.
This is our idea.
We should get the queer palm. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I love that she speaks French. Like in Act One, right? She's like given an activity pack because she's such a sweet dum-dum. And then here she is, like, revealing her thoughts in her other language.
Yeah. And it's, like, very poetic. She's like, you have awoken me.
Yeah.
Sorry, there was a buzz at the door.
This sets up probably my favorite line that's ever been uttered on SNL, which is, tu es mon Totino, which is, you are my Totino. Oh, my gosh. You are my Totino.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
We should get that tattooed. That's...
Another thing on the French thing, one of the things that she says in French is that I feel like we're the only two people on Earth, which that's an island. I'm going to say that's also they're on a figurative island, a mental island.
It's kind of reminiscent of like, do all lovers feel,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, like feel like they're inventing something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there is, of course, a scene where they're lying face to face, which I guess is maybe a requirement if you make a film about sapphics.
I think so now, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's uncanny. It's like, yeah. I can't handle it. I feel like that shot of them, I feel like Portrait invented that, but obviously that's not the case. We've seen it in a ton of films.
Right.
But it makes me want to go back and watch like every lesbian film and capture this moment.
Yeah. And then, of course, for the end credit of the commercial, it overlays the Festival de Cannes logo. And that's, yeah, find your Totino.
It's really interesting at one point when, you know, the dude, the husband is like, what are you doing? You know, making out? Because it's like, that is such a fucking classic. Like, who hasn't heard that joke?
Yeah.
A straight guy making that joke, you know?
Right,
like,
right,
when
right.
two women go to the bathroom together, like, don't make
or
out.
Like, as a joke to, like, his male, his, you know, his right. other dude friend. It's like, oh, let's make out, you know? Like, it's, that's the joke, is homosexuality right. is the joke. And it's like, ah, actually.
But they are literally behind you making out.
Yeah. You are the joke, sir.
Yeah. Also worth noting, like, Totino's responded to these sketches. I think in the first one, they sent them, like, a bunch of Totino's. I think, like, a fridge full of Totino's. Yeah. I'm not sure about the second, but in this third one, they actually tweeted pizza rolls, not gender rolls, which is pretty great.
Yay, Totino's.
Yeah, yay, Totino's. Whoever's running their social media account is on it.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, if that's what it takes for corporations to come around, is following the scent of capitalism towards equity and equality, it's like, fine.
Fine, sure. I'll take it. Sure.
So if you scroll through the comments on YouTube, the reactions are great. I recommend this rare comment section on the internet. And it's funny how many people are like, this skit is my sexuality, or this was my gay awakening, you know?
Oh.
I feel like, yeah, that's fine. That's a good place to realize your latent lesbian or bisexual tendencies. Sure.
Someone wrote, draw me like one of your hungry guys. That's cute.
That's okay. I think maybe another fun background thing is that, and this is from the Vulture article from the same interview, but Sarah Schneider said this about Kristen Stewart. She was super personable. Sometimes hosts are very separate, and that's fine. I was sitting. She came over and crouched and put her elbow on my knee to just, like, talk. And I was like, I'm going to leave my boyfriend.
Yeah, I get the sense that K-Stew has that effect on straight women. Sorry, I just have to read this comment. I cried at the end when she finally found someone who deserved her, someone who appreciated her. All she wanted was to please someone who in return wanted to please her.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this makes me so happy. I mean, I think they did mention Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider that they wanted to give her a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, like, they wanted her to find her truth.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if the host of the podcast, I can't remember, like, how this came about, but, like, they also mentioned they're no longer there. They've traveled abroad together, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So Chris Kelly, they were talking about what happens to these people. And Chris Kelly says, I can confirm they are together to this day. So that's kind of nice to feel. And Sarah Schneider was like, they live in Italy. So there you go. That's canon. That's from the writers themselves.
I'm going to say I think they live in France, but, you know.
I bet they travel, you know, between
countries exactly.
all the time.
It's very easy to move around in Europe. Yeah. So I've heard.
Oh, I guess one last thing, just to give the filming of this some context, and maybe even a little bit of context to the monologue that Kristen Stewart did, was the way that the show is produced. The commercials take a really long time.
Yeah.
And so the filming for this one went from Friday night until 8 a.m. Saturday morning, like 6 to 8 a.m. is what they were estimating. And so then you have to do Saturday Night Live that day, you know, so both Vanessa and Kristen Stewart probably got a couple of hours of sleep. And so Kristen Stewart was probably exhausted when she swore during that monologue, but it was hard work.
Yeah, it's pretty grueling, it sounds like. I'm just scrolling through the comments and so many people are sort of theorizing what happens afterwards. Someone calls out the fact that no more Totino sketches are made. So it's like his theory is that they ran off together. So there's nothing to shoot.
Yeah.
It's so good. I love this universe.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
the existence that, you know, this is out there. And like, it really is just giving me so much life.
The name Sabine also
I
got
know.
Me just in itself. Yeah. It was like Colette for me. It was like, oh, Sabine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sabine. I know. And I feel like the way she says it, it's like Sabine. Like something yeah. about it is just, it's so perfect.
Did she just do Personal Shopper before this? Is that
yeah,
hers?
I think she just did Personal Shopper. So she was promoting that, which is a really interesting film to go on SNL for, I feel like. And she had also just directed a couple shorts that premiered at Sundance.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Oh, what a coincidence. We are right around the same time, 4 years later, right?
Oh, yeah.
This came out in February. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wait, when is this episode? Wait.
It's the fifth anniversary.
The episode is literally, okay, this is so stupid. This episode we're recording right now is going to come out on the 4th, which is exactly, wait, is it 5 years?
5 years. It's a fifth anniversary.
Oh, I can't believe this is 5 years. This SNL skit is timeless in my mind. Yeah. But yeah, it's the 5-year, happy 5-year anniversary to this.
Yay!
Totino's skit. It was totally planned. Yeah, exactly. We're very good at
things. We're biologically attuned to like the anniversaries for this skit.
That's how sapphic we are. So sapphic, it's just like this universal, you know, we're synced up to the universe of all sapphics. I don't know. We're on the sapphic clock.
Even though we've missed like so many sapphic things, like didn't we miss Celine's birthday one year?
Shush, Morel. Yeah, in our last episode where we were like the mailbag and everyone's like, oh, this is my favorite thing of 2021. We were like, what? I've never even heard of this.
Oh, it's also the 28th. So we're
today
recording.
Is 28th that we're recording. Yeah, that's right. All right. That wraps up our Totino's episode, Totino's portrait role episode. We are not sponsored by Totino's, but if they would
weirdly
like to sponsor us, yeah, we are here. We will eat your pizza rolls and take your money. And now it's time for this episode's Media Rex. Laurel is still thinking of one, so
I'm so sorry.
In the meantime, I'll ramble.
My queer media recommendation is to take it easy when you can.
Oh, that is a good. That's good.
This is
wellness.
This is
is important.
This was a soft deadline that I am just gonna miss, and that's fine because we are being kind to each other and ourselves. So that's my recommendation.
There's nothing more queer than kindness.
Yes. That's adorable. That should be a shirt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to quickly throw out two media recs, just because, not because Laurel didn't really provide
one.
See,
but this is perfect. Like, you still get two.
I was going to do two, but now I have a good excuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so I am currently, I'm currently attending the Sundance Film Festival virtually. And there haven't been too many queer films that I've seen, but maybe like a few. And there's two that I highly, highly recommend. And the first one is called Am I Okay? Which is a feature narrative film by Tig Notaro and her wife, Stephanie Allen, who Stephanie Allen you might recognize from or know from the L Word Generation Q. She plays Natalie. And yeah, it stars Dakota Johnson and Sonoya Mizuno.
In another queer role. I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her role is queer. It's kind of a coming out story, but it's definitely a coming out story, but it's also very much focused on like the best friendship of the two characters that Dakota Johnson and Sonoya Mizuno play. But it's nice to see Sonoya Mizuno in a speaking role because I think she's kind of known for playing these like hot women who like do fun dances and don't talk. Not fun, like sexy, scary dances and don't talk. Like in Ex Machina and Annihilation, where she literally has no speaking lines, but she's just kind of like, I'm going to do a sexy, freaky dance.
Oh, that's
so
her. Aww,
yeah. So yeah. She's great in Am I Okay? And I just love the film. It's just very sweet. I won't give away anything. I'm sure it'll get picked up. So I will mention again when it's available to stream or watch in the theater. So the other film that I very, 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 very much recommend is called Sirens. It's a documentary about, I think, the first all-female metal band in the Middle East from Beirut specifically. So very briefly, it's about these women who are trying to make it in their thrash metal band in this, you know, extremely economically and politically unstable country. And it's just this very, very special, beautiful documentary. One thing that might be particularly exciting, other than the fact that it's sapphic, for people who are listening who are portrait fans, is that Para One actually did the original score for it, which I didn't know until I was like, oh, I love this music. And then at the end, it was like, Para One. I was like, ah! So cool portrait link there. But yeah, check that out, especially if you love metal. But no, just watch it, actually. Yep.
It's cool that they did music for a music documentary.
I know, I know, very, like, I know. Ooh. Yeah, it paired really well with their style of metal, too. So, but yeah, I'm sure that'll get picked up. And I will also remind you when it does come out to watch.
And now it's time for this episode's KSMR, which will be a witchy tonic that Audrey will make, and I don't know what goes into it, so please tell us what that what that's about.
Oh, shit. I'm clear. Ah! Well, first, you have to laugh a lot to yourself.
Cackle uproariously.
Yes. No. You don't have to cackle. That's like such a witchy cliche.
I love cackling. Cackling is
okay,
great.
Okay, fine. Cackle.
We're taking back the cackle.
So I recently made homemade tonic, which is a process. There are a lot of recipes out there for homemade tonic water. The one I used came from my local worker-owned co-op called Rainbow Grocery. And it includes cinchona bark, citric acid, cardamom pods, allspice berries, cloves, lavender, salt, as well as the peels of, you can use various citruses like oranges, lemons, limes, grapefruit, and then some lemongrass stalks as well. And you heat up a bunch of the ingredients in water together, and then you keep it stored in a jar in the fridge for a few days, checking it once or twice a day. Then you strain it through some cheesecloth. I used coffee filters. And you can also then combine it with simple syrup to make tonic that you could have like in gin and tonics. If anyone's curious about the recipe, ping us. I will give it to you.
Or we can include it in the show notes or... Okay.
Yeah. We'll include it in the show notes. Yeah. Make this tonic and let me know how it goes.
Great. Yeah.
So I recorded the process, like I think pretty much the entire process. So that's what the gay ASMR is. And I also cut myself in the process, which I will not include in the gay ASMR part, but I'll include it as a bonus. True. Laura loves it.
Oh, man. I got shivers just like thinking about it right now.
I cut myself like while I was peeling. Heather says that I'm very prone to injury when I'm in the kitchen, which is true. I actually burned my finger today.
Ugh. Was it like on a mandolin kind of thing or?
Oh God, I've done that. That's the worst when you like really take off all of your skin. It was on just a peeler. And since then I've made the tonic again. And now I wear like a little glove because I know I'm going to take off knuckle. But it was like, I was peeling like the orange peel and then I like took off my knuckle. But anyway, I don't know why. It's kind of funny because I didn't realize it was still recording. Or like I
forgot.
You're
still relaxed
after all this. But maybe I should start with that. I'll give you a trigger warning and then I'll give you like a fair amount of time to stop listening if it's like upsetting to you.
Great. But before we get to that, if you have any sapphic questions or your own gay ASMR for the next show, email us at sapphiccultureclub@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at sapphiccultureclub and Twitter at sapphicpodcast. The episode transcript and other links we've mentioned can be found in the description of the episode wherever you're listening to it. And now, ASMR.
ASMR. Okay, folks, this is the content warning I promised you. In the following clip, I will be taking off my knuckle with a fruit peeler. This also features my partner, Heather.
Oh, shit. I peeled my finger off. It bleeds. The citrus. Yeah. I guess it was inevitable. Fuck. Oh, I think I just recorded the audio too.
Of your screaming?
The whole process, because I'm recording the gay ASMR.
You have a problem.
What do you mean? I have a problem? You have a gay ASMR problem.
No, you have a gay ASMR problem.
Leave me alone. I'm bleeding.
You wanted a Band-Aid.
My knuckle's gone. Ah! Give it to me. All right. Okay, give it to me.